News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT, the Pete Callender Show, and I want to welcome to the program Sandra Leal. She is the president of the American Pharmacists Association. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So did I pronounce your name correctly? I apologize if I did not.
Oh, no, you did.
Okay, great. So tell me first, what is the, I think I can guess, what's the American Pharmacists Association?
So the American Pharmacists Association is the group that represents pharmacists across the United States on different issues related to pharmacy. So a lot of the things that we're working on right now have been around COVID testing, COVID vaccinations, and really keeping our pharmacists up to date so that they can provide the best information and care to patients.
So the organization is put out a statement, and they're making you available that you're wanting people to get vaccinated. And so I guess I should ask first off, why do you think people are not getting vaccinated? Why aren't we seeing an increase in the numbers that people think we should be seeing?
So the good thing is we're starting to see people that were a little bit more hesitant now starting to, you know, actually vaccinate. There has been a lot of misinformation and some just hesitancy because of the concerns they've had around the vaccine. But we are starting to see that we're making a little bit of a dent on this vaccine concern because of the Delta variant, which has been so, so serious. And so what we want to do as pharmacists is make ourselves available to ask and answer questions for those that are still on the fence, because we want to make sure people have the information they need to get vaccinated.
What are the questions that folks are generally being presented with?
So I think in general, patients are asking a lot about, you know, questions related to the speed of the vaccine. Why did it get approved so quickly? And so we've been able to answer that question by just reviewing how the process of the vaccine occurred and that no steps were missed in the process. A lot of people had not heard of mRNA, and we talk a lot about how, you know, mRNA has been something that has been studied for 20 years. So it wasn't really new. It was just utilized in this way, and it was studied. And then the pharmacists are also sharing their experience. We did a survey with all pharmacists to see about their own acceptance to the vaccine, and well over 90% of pharmacists either have already received the vaccine or were in the process of receiving the vaccine. And we know that when we trust, you know, anything, medications or vaccines, as pharmacists, it's really important that we can speak to it, speak to the safety of them, and that we can provide that confidence to people that have concerns.
So I can relay some of the concerns I've heard from people in discussing this topic quite a bit. So number one, I have heard the speed at which it was approved. They said, oh, it's not FDA approved. But now it is, of course. And that hasn't convinced, I think, really anybody that was saying that at the time. I think that was kind of just like something that a lot of folks said. They weren't really relying on the FDA approval. The thing that I hear now a lot is the side effects. They are very concerned about side effects that they see being reported. They see reports of deaths as reported to VAERS. They also see or they also question the long-term impacts on people's health when we don't know what these are going to be potentially down the road. So what's your response to those concerns?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that we've looked at when we've looked at previous vaccine science is that most side effects of a vaccine occur very early in administration, so within 6 to 8 weeks. We have months and months of data and millions of people now vaccinated. In fact, I myself participated and volunteered to be one of the study participants for the vaccine. So I received my vaccine before the end of last year, and almost on a weekly basis, I receive a call. I have lab work done to show the safety, to monitor how effective the vaccine is. And so I speak from experience being part of the study. So, you know, that's the kinds of things that we want to share with people so that they know that it is very rare. I don't think we're going to see any, you know, issues 5 years or 10 years down the road, because we see it almost immediately upon administration of the vaccine. And although, you know, the vaccines have had, we've seen some reports of certain side effects. When you look at the number of people vaccinated and the number of people who've experienced any issue, even in those people that have experienced issue, a lot of times it's reversible. So it's not something that's a permanent issue, and that we see that people actually, you know, improve and resolve, and that they still receive the benefit of being vaccinated. I do also say, you know, when we looked at the information that was published earlier this week, 1 in 500 Americans have died of COVID. And so the consequences of COVID deaths are obviously more significant. And one thing that we don't talk enough about is the symptoms of long COVID. So people that don't die but experience these very significant issues, kidney impact, fatigue, brain fog, all of these issues around long COVID that we are not even talking about. And so when you look at all of that together, the benefit of that vaccine far, far, far exceeds having COVID or having the consequences of COVID.
So if, as I understand it now, and I'm vaccinated, and I remember them saying, like, this is how you get back to normal. And if you get the vaccine, then you the chances of getting COVID are very, very low. And now it seems like, oh, actually, you can still spread COVID. So if that's the case, why, like, what's the practical difference between getting the shot, not getting the shot, if we both can spread it? Isn't it just mainly, like, a protective measure for myself?
Absolutely. It is a protective method for yourself, and to also make sure that you don't end up sick and then create issues, like for capacity, for example. Here, I'm located in Arizona, and we are now having issues where people are not able to get into the hospital for routine visits. And we had a person just reported that they died. They called 43 hospitals, couldn't get them in, and they died not of COVID, but because the hospitals were full of people in the ICU that were not vaccinated, unfortunately. So it is important to make sure that you're taking protections for yourself and then hopefully leaving space for others that might get sick. And that's, you know, that's the key message that we have to definitely think about the impact on our community and not just think about, you know, what's good for me only, but really think about the community benefit.
So I have a question from a listener who's asking, do you have any comment on pharmacies declining to fill prescriptions written by doctors for, quote, unapproved medications for treatment of COVID? I guess this is the story about pharmacies refusing to fill ivermectin prescriptions.
Yes, absolutely. So the pharmacist makes a clinical judgment based on the information that they have, based on the data. And they can determine whether or not they want to fill a prescription based on that information. Now, it's not to say that, you know, they're just declining them for no good reason. There are, you know, all pharmacists are looking at data. They're looking at clinical judgment. They're looking at the patient. And they're trying to make the best assessment possible and make a clinical decision based on that. It is a pharmacist's obligation to make sure that the prescriptions that they're filling are appropriate for the patient and that they won't cause harm. At the end of the day, the pharmacist's goal, much like every other healthcare professional, is to make sure the person has the best outcome possible with the medications that are being prescribed.
Right, but isn't that the doctor's role?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that the doctor's role? They determined after after you know an examination and discussion with the patient, like they made that call.
They can, but there are things that maybe the provider didn't catch. For example, if a person has a kidney condition, for example, and they prescribe a drug that could make the kidney function be worse, it is our duty as pharmacists to make sure that we're another level of defense to protect the patient. So we work in collaboration with the providers, and we communicate almost on a daily basis if we find anything that could potentially cause harm to the patient. Sometimes the patient doesn't maybe tell the doctor certain information that they would have told us, not because they're not trying to, but maybe they didn't have an opportunity or things happen, or maybe they're taking an over-the-counter medication that could be interacting with a drug that the provider didn't know about. And so it is our obligation to make sure we have the full picture, make sure that we're working in the team to make sure the patient has the best outcome. So the pharmacists are a line of defense to protect the patient from things that could potentially cause harm.
Sandra Leal, the president of the American Pharmacist Association. We're out of time. I appreciate you joining us. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.